The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, which can be found on page 1174 of the Church Bibles. That is Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. As for you, you were dead in the transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been received, you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do.
And our gospel reading is from John's gospel. It's chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And you can find it on page 1066 in the Pew Bible. So, arguably the best verse in the whole Bible, and it's on page 1066 for future reference. So, verse 40. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Thanks be to God.
Should we just pray for Jonathan as he comes to bring us God's word? Father, we thank you for Jonathan, and we thank you for the word that you've placed upon him. Lord, inspire him with your Holy Spirit now, that the words that he may speak to us may be from you, and that each of us will receive that word at our point of need as you speak to us through your precious word. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Thank you. It's good to be here as always. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thursday afternoon, I was doing my grandfatherly duty on a school run. Well, with a 15-year-old in the car, it's more a chauffeur than a school run, really. And as we drove along, we passed some strange things. We passed Harry Potter, Red Riding Hood, Willy Wonka, a two-headed chicken, pirates, spacemen. Yes, it was Bournemouth, towards the Boscombe end at that time, but it was Bournemouth. And I hadn't been on anything. I hadn't been on anything other than tea and coffee. But it was, of course, World Book Day. And the primary schools were sort of pouring out into the world, all these children dressed up as all these strange things. I was able to identify some of them. A lot of them, I haven't a clue what they were, because I can't keep up with all the wonderful children's books that are around today. But there they were. World Book Day. And I want us to think of a book that gives us insight into relationships, gives us lots of detail, and also some broad and awesome themes. And God. It is, of course, John's Gospel that we've just heard Ruth read from. And it's significant it's being on page 1066 because I think as well it contains one of the most significant verses in the whole of the New Testament, probably the whole of the Bible. It's a bit tricky because it's rather like thinking, as probably we all do, you know, what hymns would I like at my funeral? And I think, oh, yeah, that's the best one, and that one, and that one, and, oh, I rather like that one, and I've just heard a new one, I'll include, and the list gets longer and longer. And perhaps that's what eternity is about, you know, getting through all those hymns before we get in front of God, our Maker and Redeemer. But with Bible verses, it's a bit the same, but I do come back to several that mean a great deal to me. And amongst today's verses, which contain some real nuggets of verbal and spiritual gold, they're wonderful words, full of John's favourite vocabulary and themes. But the one that always stands out, that we've heard already twice in two different ways, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Certainly one of my favourites. God so loved the world. And this part of the gospel, as so much of the ministry of Jesus that we hear about and learn about, is about relationship and love. The relationship between the Father and the Son, but also the relationship between you and me and God, as revealed in Jesus, the Son. John, of course, gives us other insights into the relationship, for example, between Jesus and Mary, his mother. The previous chapter of the Gospel tells us about that wedding at Cana in Galilee, when there was tension between Jesus and Mary, a real human relationship. "They've run out of wine," she says, "sort it." Well, he didn't like being bossed about, really. And, you know, "My time has not yet come. What's it got to do with you?" All those sort of excuses. Very human. And John somehow captures it, doesn't he? The relationship between Mary and Jesus must certainly have been an interesting one. In one of the other Gospels, we read that story where probably the almost teenage Jesus had wandered off to talk to the religious leaders and to ask them all sorts of questions that they struggled with. And Mary and Joseph had started going back with the rest of the gang back to home, and they realised he was missing. And rather than saying, "Oops, sorry, Mum, I should have been with you," he actually says, "Well, where else did you expect to find me?" Perhaps glimpses of a teenage Jesus. And today on Mothering Sunday, we obviously reflect too on human relationships. They're embedded in the Bible, they're embedded in human life, they're embedded in God's love for us. And I know that for some, Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday, can be quite a tricky day, all sorts of unresolved thoughts and emotions, as well as thanksgivings and celebrations, memories of times past and hopes for times yet to be. Quite a difficult as well as celebratory day. We think too in John's Gospel, and again we saw it in that lovely video at the start of the service, of the sight of the cross, Jesus hanging in agony on the cross for us. And at the foot of the cross, a very small group probably gathered, including Mary, his mother, and John, described often as the beloved disciple. And as Jesus looks down in his agony and his pain, he says to John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." He creates a new relationship, a caring relationship. The son who knows that he will no longer be physically present is able to give his mother to the care of his best friend. A very complex relationship, but at the heart of it all, a very loving relationship. And so what of today's passage? That verse, "God so loved the world," is set within a whole set of contrasts. John is wonderful with words. I'm sure he would have done very well in his GCSEs. Above and below, life and death, truth and falsehood, darkness and light. He has a way with words. Similar styles were found elsewhere in the same era, in the Greek philosophers, in Judaism, for example, the Dead Sea Scrolls. These contrasts that he draws out and shows us and guides us and points us towards the right one of the pair. To the life above, to life rather than death, to truth rather than falsehood, to light rather than darkness. And we're reminded through the words of John and the life and the death of Jesus that despite all of its sins and shortcomings, this world was worth God giving his only son for. This world, with all its failings, and probably like many of you, I'm almost speechless when I see the daily stuff on the news and try to think, how do I translate that into prayer, into life? Sometimes silence and sorrow are the only things that work. And yet, it is this world that God gave his son for. It is this world in which we are placed. It is this world in which God's redeeming and saving work still goes on in you and in me, if we let it. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. It's not just given at one time for a select few. It's given for all time, for everybody to receive or to reject. The choice of perishing, of life or death apart from God, or the choice of eternal life itself in Jesus. That is why God sent his son into the world, to give us that choice, the stark contrast. And the coming of Jesus, however we read it, must be seen as a critical moment in human history. Jesus came not as judge, but as saviour. Anyone, even us, can come to Jesus in faith. We can believe in him or turn to him. Eternal life is ours. That choice is ours. In a way, we make the judgment of ourselves by the choice that we make. We can turn to Christ, or we can turn our back on Christ. The choice is ours. And so it's not just about light or darkness. There are, in between the two, some shadowy areas. This passage may challenge us to think about those shadowy areas in our own lives. But always we have that image of Jesus who comes not to condemn, but to save, to lead us out of the shadows, into the light, to lead us away from what is wrong, however natural it may seem, to lead us to what is right, those opposites, the truth and the falsehood, the light and the darkness. We have the choice. And Lent may not be a bad time for looking at some of those shadowy areas and praying and longing and asking for the light of Christ to come in. The Gospel reminds us of the importance of relationship. Father and Son, Son and Mother, Jesus and you, Jesus and me. And just as World Book Day does strange things and invites people to almost get inside the book, to align themselves with the characters, to think about the story and what it really means and how it really felt to walk in the shoes, literally perhaps, of some of those characters, we're reminded that the Bible too is a book, or more precisely, a library of books. Each of the books of the Bible a gift to us with a different purpose, a different content. It may be history, it may be poetry, it may be a love story, it may be wise sayings. All of it leading to the good news, the Gospels, the hope, both for the present and for the future. God sent Jesus for all time, for all people, even us. Hope for the present, hope for the future. Salvation by knowing and choosing and following, and never forgetting that God so loved the world. For us Christians, every day is a World Book Day, and the book is found within the covers of the Bible.